Yes, ma'am.
I'm Miller. I'm a life empowerment coach. I specialize in self-love, self-care, and self-motivation. Today, I have a special guest, and I will let him introduce himself.
My name is Bobby Witcher, father, educator, and coach. How's everybody doing tonight?
Okay. Thank you for joining me today, Mr. Witcher. And how was your day today? How was your day today?
Wonderful. How was yours?
Good. Thank you. Sure. So basically what I want to discuss today is about the black man in America and why does racism exist amongst the black man? So my question for you today is, why is it so difficult for the black man in America? And does it interfere with your everyday life?
You know what? It's difficult now. And I say that loosely. It's not that difficult. It's people that don't like our kind, or, you know, they just dislike us because of ignorance. We know more now. They're not hiding. Like they're telling us, you know what? You are of a different skin color and we don't like you. So is it difficult? It's not difficult. It's only going to be as difficult as what we make it. So we just got to get through it like anything else and prosper at the end.
Question for you. So why do you think that black men make it more difficult?
I think it's the 2 to 5 percenters, the ones that want to blame everything on the system and the man, and you know, I wasn't given this opportunity. If you weren't given an opportunity, sometimes you just got to take the opportunity, because everybody wasn't, nobody was given anything. Period, point blank. I don't care if you're rich, middle class, or poor. You're not given anything. Just like everybody else, you got to go earn it. And if you're able to earn it, then you got to sustain it. Because now we're talking about, now we got to make sure that we're good for our kids, our family, and even our grandchildren. So that's my outlook on that one.
Okay. So as a black man, how do you feel you would be able to help other black men understand that?
You know what? I could get my 2 cents, but it would be if a group of 10 of us get together, it would be all about who wanted to listen and who wanted to just be there, just to be there. Now people will listen, and you know, I could get my 2 cents on something, not saying that they got to go out and be like, you know what, man, let's go conquer the damn world now. No, I'm not saying that, but look at it from a different perspective. If your perspective hasn't been working for you for 30 years, why don't we try something else? So that's how I could be able to even, you know, try to just put a hand in a pot and even try to work something out for a black males to change. You know what? The key is change your perspective. If it ain't working for you, change. Do something else.
Okay. So, you know, in the news recently, a lot of people have blamed the past administration, as far as the Obama administration, on the black community and the black men. Do you feel that he supported the black community and the black men?
And you, I'm sorry, did you say something about Trump?
No, I didn't say Trump. I was saying in recent news, okay, it has been said that Obama is the blame for the reason why things are the way they are now, as far as being a black man in America. So I'm just getting your perspective on how you feel about that statement.
Oh, are we saying Obama? So we're saying Obama, this is his fault, like in a bad way?
Right. They're saying that the reason why everyone's protesting and trying to have police reform and stuff like that, that this is the reason, because of what his past admin did. You know, basically, Trump is saying that he's the one that's making everything better.
No, I disagree. So Obama had 2 terms in office, and he was telling us about this stuff 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we just didn't listen. Actually, going on, because Trump's coming up, actually, I'll say 11 and a half years ago. So we weren't listening. I think some of us were. And, you know, we were just happy, like, okay, man, we got somebody in office that looks like us. First time ever.
Right.
First time and maybe only time. So, no, I don't blame Obama at all. No, not at all. If right. anything, he showed that we could excel and get past, you know, the stigma that everybody had that, okay, every president has to be an old white man. Nah, that's not it anymore. It's not. So no, I definitely disagree with that one.
So do you feel that him going in there, he was already targeted being a black male? I mean, because people are saying, you know, that are different, like white people are saying that he's the cause for every single thing that's going on right now, as far as the police brutality and all of that. So, I mean, I believe that is true, but coming from you, like the black man, and getting your perspective, like how do you feel you can address someone?
You know what? Everybody wants to blame Obama
about Obama.
Everybody's always going to blame the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, as much as we live in the past, our present, we can't make it. We can't make a present, because we're always going to. We'll go from day five all the way back to day one. And for what? What are we blaming Obama for? Because he got in there. He was already behind mm-hmm. eight ball. I mean, let's look at the deficit. What are we? $1 trillion in the hole. So when Obama mm-hmm. got in there, it's where the last president left off. He didn't leave him anything, and Obama didn't leave Trump anything. They did what they were supposed to do at that point in time.
Right.
Period, point blank. I can't say Obama did anything mm-hmm. or Bush or even Bill Clinton. Like, these are this is the stuff they're handed as soon as they take that oath to go into office. Do they try to change things? Yes, mm-hmm. for the time being. Will it change as soon as they leave? Yes, because it's not them. They served their time, and somebody else wants to do it their way. They want to sit in that captain's seat mm-hmm. and drive the boat until it's their time to get out and someone else is driving.
Mm-hmm. So the statement that Trump made earlier this week, when he said that he has something to do with the Juneteenth and all of that, how do you feel about that?
If anybody believes that, they're full of now, if somebody believes that, our country is worse off than what I thought. Because if this man actually believes, I actually, it's funny you said it, because I read that today in the paper where he said, "I made Juneteenth famous." That was his statement in the paper.
Yeah.
How in the hell did you make Juneteenth famous when it's been famous since the 1800s? This is just one of his flabbergasting, ignorant ass moments where he's saying he made something famous. Why? Because you're having a rally in Oklahoma. The last time I looked, Oklahoma had the highest case of COVID in the USA. So people, you know what I'm saying? So people got to know their facts. So you're going to have a rally in Oklahoma where it's supposed to be social distancing, everybody's 6 feet apart, and you're going to have a rally there? Yeah, good job, President. I won't be attending.
Because I guess people like him think that all this is going on, that everybody's, you know, protesting and rallying and coming together, that he's the cause of it. But I think that people need to really look into their history a little bit more, you know, just see why it's happening, you know. So my next for you is, because I feel like with the whole rallying and all of that, how do you feel as far as people protesting, rallying, and looting? How do you feel about that? And why it's a thing now than it hasn't been prior to,
you know what? I remember George me and you speaking on this maybe killed. Last week. So I want people to rally and protest about all the black on black violence. Let's rally and protest on that. Let's rally and protest when we look on the mm-hmm. near east side of Columbus and the north side of Columbus in the Linden area, why there's, you know, dead bodies coming up, or there's always black on black crime. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not minimizing nothing that's happened to any black person, any black man, you know, any black man or woman that has been beaten by a cop or killed by a cop. Not minimizing none of that. I'm not. What I'm saying is we need to check the forefront before we go and try to rally and do other stuff for other people. Now, I get it. I get the reason why they did it. And when you go rally and, you know, you stand for something, there's going to be looting. Which is, now that's the part I don't agree with. But with two positives always becomes, always is with, it's another one or two, three negatives. So you got people out here that's trying to get their point across, black, white, purple, and green. And then you got people that's like, okay, well, I'm gonna take advantage of the movement. I'm gonna go break into Soul Classics. Like, wow, for real? Because I shop at Soul Classics, mm-hmm. and some of that stuff in there, I'm not saying I'm rich, but some of it is a little pricey. And sometimes I have to be like, you know what? I check mm-hmm. myself like, nah, I don't need that, but I'll get it at another time. So you got people breaking into Soul Classics knowing that the Jordans was coming right. out. They clearly stole them. Knowing they got shirts in there that cost $100-$150, they stole that. Mm. So I asked, and you know, I'm just throwing this in the air, what was their point of looting a store, a bar? I mean, because it was like, it was a couple bars down there. They stole all the liquor. Mm-hmm. Like, these people have insurance. So they're able to get all their, right. their merchandise and liquor or, you know, whatever that you stole back. And they got you on camera. Like, this is downtown Columbus, Ohio. Like,
exactly.
It's 10 minutes from the state house. And, you know, we got, I mean, the mayor, all of the councilmen, all these people that are higher ups in office. And they have names in Columbus. You think that they're not going to have cameras down there to watch your dumb butt do what you did? So I hope the ones that did all that ignorance, right. I hope they get prosecuted to the fullest. To the fullest. Because you take all the, mm-hmm. you take one moment of great, and then you look at it like, oh man, this store got broken into, or this bar got broken into. Why? Like, I mean, for what? Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? Like, there's a bigger cause and bigger purpose, and you want to break into a store to steal some tennis shoes. Like, man, I mean, I could talk about that all night, but I digress.
So as far as the you know, the protesting and the looting,
yes.
and all of that, and the black on black crime. So I've known of people that have said, well, I don't care about that. I care about the police on, you know, the police killing the black man. But why is that only the topic? So if you and your friend were having a conversation and he was just like, well, I don't care about that. How would you feel
they don't care about
your friend saying that to
you? The black on black crime? I would say they're idiots. You got to care about the black on black crime. I mean, I read the article, and these numbers may not be correct, but I think they're close enough. We are 17% of the population in the USA, mm-hmm. but we're 75% of the population in the prison system. 17% of the population in the whole US of A, but we're 75% of the population in jail. And we shouldn't care about the black on black crime.
Wow.
I beg to differ. I think we should. I really do.
What I ask that is because I've seen people put stuff on like Instagram or Facebook and saying how it's not about black on black crime. We're focusing on this police
right.
You know, this police officer killing this black man. So that's why I didn't understand. Well, how come black on black crime shouldn't be an issue?
I totally agree. You know? Like, I don't know why we would even look at a situation and say it's not a problem with black on black crime. We're killing ourselves. I mean, we're damn near extinct.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
I mean, we got all these mm-hmm. people out here with multiple kids, but we got to look at. Did we break up? Oh. So when I say about the black on black crime, so why wouldn't we care about the black on black crime when we're every time you turn around, we're creating babies? I mean, there's people out here with multiple children. I'm a father. My son will be a year next month. I want my son to be able to raise a family and be able to have children, and I want to have, you know, be a grandfather. Like, right. he could be part of that black on black crime, so I do care about it, and it should be you know, we should be looking at this way deeper than what it is.
Mm-hmm. So as far as people blaming other people, how do you think that as a black community we can come together to try to change?
I'll tell you one thing: the word of the day. And how we get over this is stop hating on each other. And that's not a cliche. Us as black people, man, if I was a millionaire
and I tried to help 5 or 10 people. Only 10% will probably make it. Only 10% will probably, okay, well, I mean, he's trying to help me. The other ones will be like, well, how do you become a millionaire? I want to rob this dude. How are you going to rob me? I'm a millionaire. You think I'm going to keep money in a safe? I'm not, this ain't back in the day where people were scared to put money in banks. I'm putting my money in somewhere where I can get to it. And the only way I can get to it is access for myself. You're not coming in my house just robbing me and thinking, oh man, he got money in the floor. Hell no. You know, I mean, I'm a millionaire. I'm smarter and wiser than that. I would never put myself out there like that. You think I got this far in life just off of pure luck? No, I made a sacrifice. The same 24 hours I have in a day, everybody else in the world has the same 24 hours. Yes, it's all about what you do with your
same opportunities.
Hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all.
Exactly. So, as far as that being said, do you feel that being a Black man, do you feel like it's harder for you in America?
I believe they have more surface opportunities. If that makes sense. They have more opportunities on the surface where I gotta bust my ass a little bit and grind a little more and show them that I'm worthy. But me myself, when I get into a situation and I know I'm worthy of it, I'm gonna make sure that you know that I'm worthy of this of having this opportunity in my hands. Now if you feel like I can't do the job, you tell me that. But don't say just because you want your little white buddy in here, you want the all boys club, and a man that doesn't have any like the same criteria that I have. No. We're gonna have to talk about that.
So, question for you then. So, you know how when you fill out a job application and they ask for your race, right? So, do you think they should remove irrelevant. That from the application?
I never understood why they asked. I mean, what my thing about it is, it's funny. It's funny you ask that question. Why are they even asking about a race? It's about the person, regardless. I don't care if I was blue. Does it matter? If I fit your qualifications, hire my ass. If I can't do the job, then. We either have moments where you say you're telling me, okay, well, you're not fit for this job, or you put me on a PIP, put me on a plan, help me. Don't just say that, this ain't gonna work out, because that's what they do. And then to counteract that, we need more people in the upper echelon, in the upper management, in the CEOs and CFOs, and in these Fortune 500 companies. Why don't we have it? Because we get discouraged quick.
Exactly. Why? What's your perspective on?
Because I believe we're overlooked, and we get discouraged. So he can have that. I don't care. I don't want to do it. But you're more qualified than he is. Go for it anyway. It's okay to be told no. We got told no as babies. I tell my son no all the time. He tries to stick his hand in. No, son. So we were trained to listen to the word no. We can accept it. But if you're qualified and you know that you're better than this other man, shit, why not give him a run for his money? I mean, challenges in life when you have a challenge in life, you are rated and judged by the way you come out. If you come out on top, great. If you come out on the bottom, how do you work your way back to the top? Because I don't like to lose. I've coached. Mm-hmm. I've played numerous sports. I hate to lose. It's a process with me. It takes me a couple of days to get over. How could I have been a better coach? How could I make have my kids better prepared for this game? And then you sit down, you look at it, you look watch film. Right. Oh, okay. Gotcha. It's all about strategy. They didn't overcoach. They didn't. Mm-hmm. Their coaching wasn't better than ours. They just either had a good day, or their strategy was just as better as ours. Like, we were definitely prepared. We just didn't strategize well.
Right. So as far as who your friends are. Do you have any white
friends? I have white family members. My mom is biracial. I got uncles, aunts, cousins, you know, that I've had a deep debate with some of my cousins. They're white. I have white friends. I have a couple white friends. You know, I mean, like I can say a couple. I have more than 10. I can say that. I don't just have like two buddies. And we talk. We talk about this, men and women. And they're not scared to tell me. They're not scared to check me and say, okay, you know what, you're wrong. And I'm not scared to check them and tell them, nah, man, you got to see it from a different view. You got to see it from my eyes. I'm looking at it from your eyes. You got to see it from my eyes.
Right.
And most of the white people, I'm going to tell you like this. I'm going to be all the way 100. The white people in my family, they're not privileged. They're not privileged at all. Some of them barely made it through high school.
Mm.
So they're just getting through with the skin of their teeth.
Wow.
They were given opportunities, and they take heed of it.
Mm. So when you have... Are they tough conversations for you to have?
You know what? Not really, because I mean, we were raised to be direct and get to the point. So most of the conversations, most of the conversations we can laugh at the end of the day. And you know, I'm not saying that we're taking the severity from it. We're just saying, okay, well, let's talk about it, and then after that, we'll sit down and be family, like, you know, just, I mean, we could cuss each other out. Nah, fuck that, man. I don't believe that. Blah, 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 blah. You know, we could keep going back and forth. But at the end of the day, regardless of how we got there, if I went left and he went right, we met at the middle at the end.
Okay. That's deep, because I know people that always say, well, I have, you know, white, you know, black friends. I'm right. Like, okay, but you still don't understand.
Not at all.
Being a black person, what we go through on a daily basis. You know, so that's why I want to get your perspective on that, because I think that's a huge issue with people saying that, because you can't walk a day in our shoes, you know, and because you would never understand ever. So my next question for you is, being a black man, do you feel free?
I definitely feel free.
Why or why
I don't
not?
I don't have any chains. I don't have any shackles. I don't have any ankle bracelets on. Yeah, I definitely feel free. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Because I know people that said that they didn't feel free because of everything that's going on right now. But I felt
clearly
it's been going on. So why now?
This stuff has been going on for umpteen years. I mean, my mom's seen it on a daily. I mean, my mom is biracial, and she grew up with her siblings, and she has three brothers and two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the only mm-hmm. little different color baby in the house. And my grandma died wow. at a young age. When my mom was young, and my aunt had to raise her. Mm-hmm. So at one point in life, the only I would say black, I'm trying to use the word, the only blackness or blackish that she was getting was from, you know, from school or people outside, you know, where they lived at. They you know, they grew up in the Lincoln Park Project. So that's the only thing she was getting. Mom, you know, she was raised to be a white woman, period, point blank. I mean, you know, there's nothing, I can't sugarcoat it anywhere else. She was her mannerisms, everything, she was raised to be a white woman. But I can't fault my aunt, because shit, my aunt was, that's all she could do. She made sure, she made an oath to my grandmother that she would take care of all their siblings. And that's what she did.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel that as black human beings that we can overcome racism as far as the pain
everybody has to do their small percentage of giving back? I'm not saying you got to go out there in the forefront and protest,
mm-hmm.
but you have to do something. I mean, like it says, mm-hmm. reach one, teach one. It takes a village. We can't do this alone, and it's not going to stop tomorrow. It's going to go on for another,
right,
until after I'm dead and my son is raising his children and his children are having children. It's going to be way after our time. We're just getting a dose of reality right now. I mean, if you are alive in 2020,
right,
and 20 years from now, in 2040, we'll be able to sit back and talk about this. Like, man, remember in March of 2020 with the COVID? Remember in June?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? You know, like, I mean, late May, early June, what happened? Like, yeah, this is some monumental stuff. very monumental. I mean, you got it. You got to sit back and take time to yourself, and like they say, have a mental check. Those mental health days. You know, just be glad that you got your family, you got your loved ones, you got your children. I mean, this is the time that you have to sit back and think the higher power, whoever you pray to, whoever you believe in, that, you know, we're still on this earth, because that COVID-19, man.
Yeah. On top of everything that's going on, that's why I just don't understand how everything just happened all at one time, because as emotions are all over the place because of everything all at once happening. But how do you think that we can all come together as one to try to not make it so emotional for
us? You know what?
How do you feel we can do that?
This may sound crass, but I don't think we'll ever come together. It'll be a small group who does what they're supposed to do. It'll be another small group who, you know, does what they're supposed to do, and then you got the small group that just doesn't give a fuck. Like, they could care less. They're going to go on their day. They're going to, you know, every day they wake up and they do the same rigmarole, the same routine. And that's what they do. You know, some people want to work, some people don't. You know, I'm not going to classify nobody, judge nobody. You do what you do. But I like getting up, going to work, and knowing that at the end of the 2 weeks or sometime a week, that I have money to support take care of my bills, my family, and my son.
Right. So do you think that everything that's going on now as far as the protesting, do you think it's going to last forever? Or do you think it's going to go back to nobody supporting each other as far as like the black businesses, stuff like that? And, you know, because before this, wasn't nobody doing none of that? I mean, I was, but I'm just saying, it just seems like it's coming out more. People want to go to these black restaurants and buy black and all of that. So how do you feel is going to happen in the next few months?
The peaceful protest, we could do that every day. I mean, you could go in your neighborhood and protest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a, you know, I'm pretty sure that's the freedom of speech. So we could do that every day. And that goes back to what I said. We all have to do something. And the piece that you said, you know, like people buying black. I've always bought black. Like, I've always supported my people. If you go on my Instagram page, I don't put everybody up, but for the majority, I definitely support my black people all the time.
Right. But do you think that before all this?
Oh yeah, definitely. People yes, black clear. Doing that. So, like I said, it's only a small 5%, maybe 10. Yeah. It's not that many.
Yeah. So as far as your experience with racism, can you tell me a time where
I got called a nigger in the second grade. Yeah, I got called because, like I said, you know, mom's side of the family white, and you know I'm going to school. My grandfather's taking me to school, and it was like, wow, your grandfather's white? Oh yeah. And then I remember going on the playground. They was like, he's a nigger. Look at this nigger. And so this is where my instinct kicked in. I was like, because I didn't know, never heard the word nigger. So I went home and told my aunt, my white aunt, and she was like, don't listen to them, son. Do not listen to them. So I went and told my mom, and she went ape shit. So she went to the school. You know, we had a conversation, and my mom was like, you know what? Kill them with kindness. Matter of fact, she was like, talk about them just like how they made you feel, but talk about them and don't even use racial terms. She didn't say it like that. She said, don't use terms that will get you in trouble. So in the second grade, that's when I started cracking on people. And I've been doing that ever since. So I was 8 years old. I'm going on 32 years around that.
But do you think that the ignorance is a... As far as racism, do you think it's because they haven't been educated properly?
As far as white individuals? I agree with what you're saying. They have been educated properly. They've been educated to hate black people. Yes, they have. They've been educated from day one to hate black people. They get taken out in the woods. They learn how to shoot. They learn how to hunt. And they learn how to You know, and it couldn't, you know, some white people hate themselves. I mean, some people, they hate their own race. They hate their own. Just like black people, we hate our own. It's no different, but most of the people that are of a different color that hate blacks, they have been taught that from an early age. A very early age. So, yes, mm-hmm. I agree with you. When they have been educated, yes.
Yeah, so yes, I think that's the root of it right there, where these parents, it's because I think it all starts in the household. It all starts there because that's when the parents show these white kids like, oh, blacks are all, you know, blacks are bad. And I think that nowadays, I think that if they had it in school, I think it would have been maybe a little bit better. I mean, because we learned about all the other things. We didn't learn about our black culture or our black race. So I think, and I hope that, you know, for your child that you support. So, but I appreciate you coming up
with that. I greatly appreciate it. I'm definitely, I hope you invite me in the future, and sooner than later.
And I definitely will invite you back. And I just want to give everybody my email address. It's positivemindset19@yahoo.com. If you want to be on my podcast, just hit me up and let me know. Other than that,
thank you, brother. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening.